Thoughts on Mark. Mark chapter 8 and verse 32. Peter's response. Christ has said that he must be killed, and after 3 days rise again. He spoke plainly about this. And then we read this, verse 32 of Mark chapter 8. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. Mark chapter 8, verse 32, Peter's response. You can hear him. No way. Stop this kind of talk. Suffering, death, being killed, rejected. No. You are the king. After all, look back to verse 30. You are the Messiah. You are the Christ. You are the anointed one. You are the one fulfilling the promises, bringing back the kingdom, bringing in the kingdom, establishing the kingdom. After all, the kingdom under David and Solomon was great. Now you're going to bring this back, and you're going to bring this kingdom to its fruition. You are the king. Now stop this talk. It's unthinkable, all this suffering and all that kind of stuff. No. Well, I would give Peter some marks here, high marks here, for being well-meaning, a good intention. He don't want to see his newfound Messiah, his newfound Lord, crucified, killed, slaughtered. He don't want all that kind of talk. No, this is the dawning of a wonderful day, and you can see him feeling this, and he feels for Christ, I'm sure. I'm sure he feels for himself, too. But you see, it's utterly haywire. He indicates, and he's not alone, they're all like it, these disciples, they still have no understanding of what this is about. Well, indeed, they're still at it in Acts chapter 1, verse 6. Will you restore the kingdom at this time? Is this the time when Israel's going to become great again? You get it time and again throughout the Gospels. How many times Jesus has to say to them, I'm going to die, and then I'll rise again. Well, look what happened at the cross. They had no idea what was going on there. You think nobody had told them, but they had been told. The resurrection, too, they were absolutely bamboozled, and they thought the women were mad. They were off their rockers. You wouldn't think they'd been told. But something changed. Read his first letter. What's that first letter of Peter all about? Well, much of it is about suffering. He knows that suffering is the way of Christ's kingdom. Read his sermon. Hear his sermon in Acts chapter 2. Is it about the monarchy being restored and Solomon's kingdom and the temple? Read Stephen's discourse in Acts chapter 7. The temple's coming back. It's all going to be wonderful. No. What's it all about? The kingdom of Christ is not the kingdom of this world, in the sense that my kingdom is not like the kingdom of this world, said Christ. If my kingdom were a human kingdom, a political kingdom, a social kingdom, a material kingdom, then would my servants fight. No, the way of the kingdom of Christ is the way of suffering. And this is what Peter has to learn. Isn't the Bible wonderful? What do I mean by that? It's so honest. It records this man's, Peter's, utter mistake. Thomas got it wrong. All the disciples got it wrong. They were all doubters and you know, they didn't understand. They all forsook him and fled. They denied or turned away from him or whatever. And it records it. It records David's sin. It records Saul's hatred of Christ before his conversion. The best of men, you see, are men at best. I don't encourage the sin or the failure or the ignorance or whatever you want to speak of. But it isn't not a comfort, brother and sister, that God has chosen the foolish, the weak, the feeble. Look what use God made by his Spirit of Peter, the day of Pentecost. Could you get it more wrong than this? Yeah. Could you go further away? Look what Christ says to him. Get thee behind me, Satan. Yeah, that's pretty severe, isn't it? Compared to verse 29, you are the Christ, and so on. And the Spirit's taught you this, said Christ in another place. I think it's Matthew's record of it. And so he goes on. God uses such weak, vacillating, feeble creatures as this. 1 Corinthians 1:26 to 31. God has chosen the foolish and the weak to show his glory in the gospel work. But suffering is at the very heart of the kingdom. If any man will live godly in Christ Jesus, he shall suffer persecution. This is not the low point, Peter. This is the zenith of the gospel. What am I talking about? Christ came into the world to live for sinners, to die for sinners, to shed his blood for sinners, to rise again for their justification. This is not the low point. This is not the failure of Christ's ministry. This is the whole purpose of it. And you will have to learn, and you will learn, as Paul learned, had to learn. God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified to me, and I am crucified to the world. Unbelieving friend, look at the suffering Savior. There is the glory of Christ. Look at the living Savior. Look at the rising Savior. Look at the cross of Christ. Trust his blood and merit. Go nowhere else. Flee to Jesus now. Peter's mistake at least highlights for us the glory of it. Glory in Christ. Not in the crucifix in the sense of an ornament, but in what Christ accomplished on the cross. Glory in it, now and forever.